The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
This gospel is very appropriate for the world in which we're living right now. The Lord says, "Fear no one." And our first response is, "Lord, I'm out of your mind. Gas is $4 a gallon. It's the end of the month. The money's getting thin. I got to drive all over the place. You go to Kroger's, that's expensive because they got to drive to get the stuff there. You got tomatoes, I might give you salmonella for crying out loud." Then you look around and you see you got terrorists trying to blow people up all the time. You got politics going on with all kinds of things. What are we going to have in terms of our government and our president? What do you mean, don't fear? That ought to be our middle name right now. We ought to be scared to death. And many of us live our life that way. We live our life very fearful because we think there are some things that we should be afraid of. And if we live life solely in the world of nature, in terms of the stuff of the world, we would be scared if we thought all that we rested on was what we made, or we had to rely on our own wits and our own intelligence to get through this world okay, or we had to rely solely on the goodness of another, and we don't see people being generous. And all those things, yeah, they can make you pretty scared, but the Lord says loud and clear, "Fear no one." He's being very, very bold with the disciples and the listeners, and he's being even bolder with us. Because the ones who are often the most frightened are the ones who have forgotten God. It's very simple. You see, we think there's only the natural world going on. There's only the horizontal stuff of life. And we forget the fact that because God loves his people, he created us in his image and likeness, and he sent us Jesus Christ, who through the Holy Spirit continues to make us holy and sanctify us and draw us closer to him every day, that there is this world called the supernatural life. The supernatural life is the life of God's grace, the life of God's mercy, his wisdom, the Holy Spirit alive in every single one of us here today. And if that supernatural life of grace alive and well, there isn't anything we need to be afraid of. The reason for that is that we have the most important ace in the hole you can imagine, and that's God. Jesus Christ is our constant companion. We don't face anything alone. This is what he's saying we don't need to fear for. But those fears keep coming because we say, "Well, Jesus, you know, Cincinnati Bell's not sending you the bill. Duke's not sending you the electric bill this month or the air conditioning. What can you do for me?" God does plenty. Does plenty. He makes us recognize that the things in this world, the natural stuff that happened in this world, are not unimportant because we're natural people. We're made up of stuff and we need stuff to live. Need a roof over our heads, floor under our feet, Burger King cheeseburgers in our stomach, Grater's ice cream, certain necessities of life, you know, clothes on our back, need all those things. Though we could probably do without the fast food. We need stuff. But stuff is not the end. Stuff is not who we are. Stuff is not what we are created to be, not in any sense of the word. Because with the supernatural life, the life of grace, God has called us beyond that. Like that book that was written a few years ago, don't sweat the small stuff, because it's all small stuff. The lady I see at Jewish hospital who's had a case of leukemia, it's been in remission for many years, and it's popped back out. And it's alive and well, and it's metastasizing, and she's very frightened of it. But on the other hand, she's saying, I've beat this before, and I got the Lord in my corner. Bring it on. Have no fear. She's looking death right in the eye and some pretty nasty treatments, and she's saying, bring it on. Fear no one. Don't fear the ones that can destroy the body or the stuff. You can get that all over. Fear the ones who take your soul away. That's the one you fear. And that soul, we don't let get taken away. We give it up. And sometimes we give it up awfully easy. But we have to look. We have to look because in the scheme of things, sometimes we think we're playing with a stacked deck. The world has stacked the deck on us. The economy the way it is, the culture the way it is. We try to raise our children and teach them to be good Catholic young men and women, give them a good solid moral value system. We try to edify them with very good images and a way of living life, and then you turn on the television, so much for an edifying way of life. Everything's from swinger shows to stupid reality shows, which are far from reality. Not real. It's an uphill battle, the deck is stacked, but we forget something again and again as Catholics. I love to use gambling images with Catholics because you guys get it. I was at Veronica's this morning. They're having their festival next week, and I said, you guys will understand the gambling analogy. You're going to be doing a lot of it next weekend. Because the truth of the matter is, the gospel, why does Jesus say, fear no one? He says it very simply. The deck has been stacked in our favor. Not against us, but in our favor. Why do we say that? Because God loves us. God has chosen to raise us out of sin through the death and resurrection of Jesus' Son. He has chosen to send us the Holy Spirit to constantly shape in our heart the life of Christ. But he's done even more than that. You think that would be enough, but one of the things God can never be faulted for is a lack of generosity. God may be one thing, but he's not cheap. Not in the least bit of the term. Because not only does he give us the grace of the sacraments, the grace of his word, he gives us the saints. And the saints are, if you will, the Maytag repair men and women of the Catholic Church. We don't pay attention to them like we should. Of course, we think about the key saints. One of the most important saints we keep in mind is our Blessed Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. How did the Lord begin to stack the deck? At the foot of the cross, John on one side, the Blessed Mother on the other. He said to John, there's your mother. The mother who brought me into this world, the mother who nursed me, the mother who is now sending under that cross that I'm on because of your sins, I'm giving her to you. And anyone who knows you have a mom, moms don't put up with anything with people who are trying to hurt their kids. Doesn't work that way. Mary is a strong advocate for us. If we go to her, she'll help us. She'll be able to make our message known to the Lord. Kind of in the Catholic Church, it's not just what you know, it's who you know. You know, the saints. And these men and women who have been a part of the church's tradition are not just holy men and women that are sitting up in there playing pinochle. That's not there. They're up there trying to help us get where they are. And just as the Blessed Mother is such a powerful advocate because she is the Mother of God and our spiritual mother, another one that I really propose to men, I tell men today, this is an absolutely important saint, and that's Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph, the most chaste spouse of Mary, the foster father of Jesus, the true example of manliness, integrity, honesty, purity and prayer. We find it in St. Joseph, and every Catholic man should have a devotion to him. If you don't have your novena card, go to Intervisions and pick one up, because it'll help you be a good father. Joseph wants us to be a good father. He wants us to be good protectors of our families. He wants us to be people of prayer who can teach our children how to pray and how to live in a world that seems to be against them. But beyond Joseph, there's so many other saints, and many of you who are elderly kind of know who these saints are that you might have a devotion to. St. Teresa, the little flower, whose great motto was, "I'm going to spend my heaven doing good on earth." And drop those rose petals. That's St. Therese's wonderful line. Then we have the young saints. I always tell teenagers, don't look after those tween idiots that are on the tabloids and stuff. Look at the lives of our boys and girls who are saints. Maria Goretti, the model of purity for young girls. St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, a saint of the 20th century who died in a young age, in his early 20s. The little flower died at age 24. The early martyrs of the church who died for the Eucharist. All of them are witnesses, and all of them say, ask us for help. We can help you overcome the fear of this world, because we will ask God to increase your love and your courage for him. And where there is love and courage, there's no fear. The saints are there to help us. And to the extent that we ask for their intercession, we ask for their mediation, and we see their example, they begin to make the Christian life not quite so scary. They begin to make this world not to be an evil place, but rather a place where God is at, because he has put us here as his children. And we need now to go out and courageously tell the world and tell the politicians and tell the culture that enough is enough. Enough is enough. This stuff that's passing for culture, which is pretty much junk, needs to go, and we need to bring back the goodness of the human person, the purity of human life, the honesty and integrity that makes us good people, and have that front and center to be a people every day who recognize God as their Father. And we know every day that relationship of prayer. Prayer takes away fear. I just learned this past week, I didn't know there was such a thing called the 911 novena. Have you heard of that? Some of you might have. I didn't, and I thought I had heard it all. The 911 novena is when you're in real trouble, pray nine memorares. Those of you who don't know what the memorare is, it's a prayer of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Remember, our most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Nine times you pray that. And I tried it. And guess what? It works. Mary hears us, and she takes it to her son, and she might have to drag Jesus by the ear, but she's saying, son, take care of those people down there. They're my children and your brothers and sisters, and you don't let them hang in. And so we see in this life how the deck has been stacked in our favor, and we still look at it as this huge hill. It's only a huge hill if we're trying to climb it without faith. It's only a huge hill if we don't recognize that God has already brought us salvation in Christ, and we need to just share in it. He's given us the hand. We need to play it. And to play it, we play it in prayer. We pray it in service. We pray it in acts of generosity. We pray it in simply being good and kind and generous to those around us. By being understanding and forgiving and compassionate. We do that, and fear is long gone. Fear is long gone. And so the Lord today gives us a great deal of hope in those words. Fear no one. The Father has stacked the deck in our favor. He has given us the saints. He has given us the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. He has given us the other sacraments. He gives us the Holy Spirit every single day. And he draws us in our heart to a prayer of offering to God. Lord, my life is your life. Do with it as you will. Because to the extent I seek to glorify you, you will give me peace. You will take away my fear. And you will help me through this life, not just to scoot by. But even if we don't have a lot, God will give us joy. He'll give us a purpose. And he'll say, no matter what happens, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. With his rod and his staff, he's going to keep me safe. And so we come today to celebrate this Eucharist. We come to receive the body and blood of Christ. May it cast out fear, the fear we might have of living a true moral Catholic life, the fear we might have of being a true witness in the world to the truth of the love of Jesus Christ, the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. May it draw away that fear which keeps us from really and truly loving God, because we can't fear what we love, and we love the Lord. Let us pray that the Lord will help us love him more, so that pretty soon we'll say, there is nothing in this world that can destroy me, because Christ is at my side. And if he is at my side, I might get beaten in this life, but we're going to run the race. We're going to fight the good fight. And we're going to be with the Lord in the world to come forever.